This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Don't look now. Cubs are a half game back of the Pirates for third place. Uh-oh. The Reds and the Cubs are the only two teams right now in the National League Central that have won more games than they've lost in their last 10. The Reds are 9-1 in their last 10 games. 38-35, the Cincinnati Reds now leading the division. The Chicago Cubs have won 8 of their last 10. They're 34-38, now a half game back of the Pirates for third place in the division. And I really wanted to emphasize before, and I think I got my point across, but I'm just going to say it over and over and over again, how important these division games have been for the Pirates. For all of you that Oakland series is way past now, but for all of you that were upset at that Oakland series, I wonder how you're feeling now about back-to-back sweeps to the Cubs and Brewers and already one game lost in this three-game series against the Cubs at home. But before I continue this monologue, we got a caller. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Good morning. This is Bob.
Hi. What do you want to talk about?
Of course, the Pirates. And, just hear me out, please. I worked for them for years. I played college ball. I love baseball. I can't get enough of it. And if you can chase somebody like me away from this organization, I don't know what the average fan is thinking. This gentleman, who we call the owner, keeps $35, $40 million a year of revenue sharing every year. Every year, April, May, everybody's excited. We're in first place. We're doing this. We're doing that. You get exposed after 162 games. And literally, this guy did it with Gerrit Cole. He's doing it with the gentleman making his debut. These types of guys, for the catcher position, he should have been brought up north. If he wants to put him in right field for his bat, if he wants to catch, you have two guys that don't hit a combined 250 playing catcher. And they tell you how great he is, that this Hedges guy is a defensive catcher and with a great staff. What's their team in ERA? 6? Okay, so stop with the rhetoric. And it's when you play. No, please just hear me out.
No. We're not. I ain't doing that. No. We're going to have a conversation. You're not going to call me and talk over me. We're going to have a conversation. That was a little bit of a rant, okay, and I'm not doing that this morning. We can talk, we can have a conversation, because there are several points brought up there, and I don't know exactly what to address first and foremost, and I want to address every point as necessary. If we're talking about Bob Nutting not spending money, I can understand that to an extent from before in recent years. He's spent enough money now that this team should be succeeding, so the players on the field just aren't doing as well as they can, or as well as they should be doing, and there are also a lot of young players on the team. I'm not fully defending him, but I'm just saying, if we're talking about spending money, Bob Nutting's doing his job as an owner, giving the $100 million contract to Brian Reynolds that he did. Okay, that's something that the Pirates haven't done before, and now they're getting on the trend. Okay, sign Brian Reynolds. Sign Carlos Santana to $7.5 million. Re-sign Andrew McCutchen. So this isn't just a money thing anymore. This is players not performing. And you want to talk about Austin Hedges being in the lineup, Jason DeLay also being on the roster. I can kind of understand that. I get that they're not performing well, but if Henry Davis can hit and he comes and he catches and he gives up 2 or 3 passed balls in a game and a bunch of wild pitches get thrown around, well, then what? I mean, are we going to accept that and say, oh, yeah, he's a young guy? No, you're going to be frustrated. You're going to continue to say, a bunch of people are going to continue to say, Pirates fans, oh, yeah, nope, the catching position is just rotten luck with the Pirates. So I don't want to hear that either, necessarily. If they don't think he's ready to catch, then we have to trust that he's not ready to catch. Because if he performs poorly as a defensive catcher, or on the defensive side as a catcher, We're going to say that because, you know, a run, sometimes in games, a run saved is a run earned. So if he's giving up runs or he's letting runners advance on pass balls, of course we're going to be frustrated with that as Pirate fans. So there's so many factors to consider when we're talking about not letting Henry Davis catch right away. I'd love to see him catch. I'd love to sit here and say that he's ready to catch, but the only thing that we can trust right now is that the organization is giving the best information and saying that he's not defensively ready to play catcher yet. In that regard, I would say don't call him up at all, but they did. And right now we're living in that reality. He's here. I've got a whole spiel about why he probably shouldn't be here right now or why it might be too late to have him up here. We'll talk about all that in due time, but I'm not going to sit here and let anybody call in just to say, you know, oh, Nutting's retaining all this money and you know, yeah, Henry Davis needs to be catching right away because he's just automatically going to save the day as a catcher. I mean, there's so much that goes into catching, and I know that because if we're talking about credentials too, I played catcher in college. I understand what it goes into, and I understand how difficult it is. It's other than pitcher, it's the toughest position to play. The pitcher and the catcher positions, two toughest positions to play in Major League Baseball because you're constantly holding the ball, and you control the pace and the movement of the game. So we're not calling in this morning necessarily yelling at Bob Nutting. I was taking those calls earlier in the season when I did this show. I'm not going to take them now. Bob Nutting is not the heart of the problem right now. So we'll move on from that subject. If you want to call in and talk about more about the last few series, about what players are doing, if you have a if you have an opinion about Henry Davis that isn't just, oh yeah, you should be catching right away, or maybe more of a point of, you could tell me why you think he should be catching now, other than that the two other guys are struggling. You can call. We'll talk about that in due time. Okay, Derek Shelton said something that caught my attention from the postgame press conference at the beginning yesterday. So I'm going to let you hear the first like minute, maybe less of this, and I'm going to talk about it after that.
Shelton, I know you had to navigate some not great conditions in the second inning, but how do you think Vito did?
I thought he threw the ball well. I mean, it was unfortunate he had to stand out there and, you know, a little bit of a driving rainstorm for 15 minutes, and that's the only time he gave up runs, but I thought he threw the ball really effectively.
Was there any consideration with the umpires about just moving the guys off the field for that brief moment?
Yeah, I don't know. From the information I got, because they thought it was going to pass through, they didn't want to put the tarp on, but it's a situation where, like to your point, they can pull them off for, you know, 10 minutes and tarp the mound and tarp the plate, and then we go back out, but I haven't heard anything about that.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, so Derek Shelton talking about that that he doesn't have control. And I like that when a manager says that. When a manager, I don't like when managers complain too much. Sometimes managers go out there and say, oh, yeah, the conditions were bad and yada, yada, this and that. I like when a manager can understand what he can control in a sense, understands what he can control and what his team can control. And I think that it's good that he didn't try to be, you know, complain too much. He's saying, okay, we couldn't control the conditions, and I think Beto, with what he could control, did a fine job. I like hearing that from a manager. Stay within what you can control and keep the team prepared, no matter what circumstance it is. I know he struggled, but Shelton's acknowledging, hey, we couldn't control that. When you stay within what you can control, and sometimes you can start to win more because you're not worried about the circumstances around you. You can learn to succeed in almost any circumstance. Earl from Canonsburg, you're on 93.7 The Fan. What's on your mind?
Yes, back in the early 70s, we had a 300-plus batting catcher, Tony Pena.
All right.
And he's rolling along pretty good, and he went in on a very steep slump. And they couldn't figure out. They tried everything with him. Here they found out he had contact lenses, and he didn't know he had to clean them. They fixed that up, and he went back to hitting over 300. 95 to 100-plus balls wasn't coming in that much in those years. And now with these high-speed pitchers, I bet you anybody, one or two of these guys in the lineup need corrected. Eye correction.
All right.
You need to check them out.
Sure. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. All right. Check the eyes. Yeah. Check on some stuff. Maybe adjustments need to be made. Sure. I hear that. We got another caller. Ted from Mount Washington. You're on 93.7 The Fan.
Well, the ship is starting to take on water.
Yep.
So we're going to see how good these guys are. With Davis, I'll be honest, I'm really surprised about the Pirate organization. They kind of broke protocol. If you're going to bring up your first-round pick, and it's nice to see you guys hit and everything else, you have to let them play catcher. There's just no excuse for that. No matter how well you bat, how well you look, he's a catcher. And he can't be as bad as the catchers you have now. And it's a little bit concerning because if Davis is not really fully developed, he might be doing more harm than good.
Yeah, I hear that.
Because, he might be. I hope I'm wrong. But, they did the same thing with Alvarez when they brung him up way too soon. You know, he was a defensive liability.
Pedro Alvarez, you mean?
Yeah, Pedro Alvarez. Yeah, it's kind of concerning. I don't know where this general manager really stands as far as development. He when he came from Boston and Toronto, he was known for developing. But his only flaws were two things: catcher and also pitching. He did the same thing in Boston. He had a problem getting pitching. And now you're going to have a problem with your catcher. So it's not good for the Pirates if you can't develop those two positions.
Yeah, I hear you. Hey, thanks for the call, Ted. I appreciate it. No, I hear that. I mean, that's a logical take. You want him to catch. And yeah, I hear that argument. Maybe he should catch. If he's your number one overall pick from a couple years ago and he's a catcher, try him. I just know there are several fans that would be extremely upset if Henry Davis got in there and he gave up like three or four passed balls in 2 days and a bunch of wild pitches got past him. I just know that there would be people that would be upset. And then it's a lose-lose all the way around. But I mean, if there are those calm and reasonable fans out there who just want him to try and no matter how much he fails, just let him try, I hear that. We got another caller. Go ahead, introduce yourself.
Yeah, Carlos, hey, this is Jack from Verona, buddy. I just want to weigh in on the Pirates.
Please do, go ahead.
They're having the same problems the Steelers are having. There's no leadership, okay? They brought Andrew McCutchen in here as a leader, okay? These young guys, when you get, as the season progresses along, they start losing interest, okay? It's up to him and your leaders to keep them interested, to keep them, playing real well. It's just like this is what's going on with the Pittsburgh Steelers, too. You're going to see this for a couple more years until they get rid of Tomlin. There's no leadership.
All right. Well, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Look, leaders can only do so much on a team. And I could kind of agree to an extent the Steelers have not had leadership. Yeah, that's a whole other topic. I mean, they're also on an extreme rebuild right now where leaders are emerging and they've got a whole new look to the team. The Pirates have a similar look to before, but we're starting to see changes in the Pirates. Extremely. So, leadership's hard to define. And especially in Major League Baseball. Like the NFL, you play once every week, have a bye week in there, and it's not day to day. Major League Baseball, it's 162 games. It's grueling. Maybe there's a lack of leadership. I can understand that because the players just seem like when they're really high, they're high. It's great. But then when adversity comes along, they seem to get really low. So I'll buy that to an extent. I don't know, though, how much one or two people can do. Maybe you put that on the manager. That's fair. Maybe you put that on guys like McCutchen, Rich Hill, Carlos Santana, those guys. But I feel like there's enough veteran presence on this team that they should have leaders. They should have people, players who can be those people. But also, how much can one, two, three people do? Maybe a lot. Maybe not so much. I just don't know. That's leadership is a hard quality to define when you're talking about sports, because you know you need leaders, but how do you define leadership?